The name of my sermon this morning is The Lord Comes as a Still Small Voice. And if you read chapter 18 and chapter 19 in 1 Kings, these are prophetic, awesome chapters. We have miracle after miracle, God breaking into this world after God breaking into this world. And we have Elijah, one of the major prophets of Israel, so forlorn and beaten down that all he can think to do is run away from one of his greatest triumphs when he killed 450 priests of Baal, proving that they were not worshiping a true God. So the scripture today is trying to remind us, and it's trying to remind us in a time when we have so much division in our country and world, in a time when some people want to bring back masks in church, some people want to close the church doors, in a time when we really need God's presence and to be reminded of God's presence, we have this scripture this morning to remind us that miracles happen when our humanity meets God's grace, when we hear God's still, small voice. Bruce? Could you hear it? Now you may think that you were hearing God's voice in the big notes, but I was wondering if you could hear God's voice in the silence after the big notes. You see, in music, silence can be just as powerful as the musical notes. The silences between the notes can energize the music. But it's not the absence of sound that makes the silence effective. The silence becomes part of the music that is being expressed. And sometimes it's the silence that draws people in to the music. Bruce? I want to go back in time. I want to go back in time longer than I would like to go back in time, but almost 50 years ago, that's not right, 45 years ago, I was teaching in high school. I was a drama teacher, and we were doing a play called The Enchanted by a French playwright. And we were doing this in the cafeteria because we didn't have an auditorium. And we had been working on it for 2 months. And we had been trying to build sets to capture the woods, the enchanted woods that the play was in, and to capture the rooms that the play was in. And I was a first-year drama teacher, having just graduated from college. I had no idea what I was doing. Don't tell anyone. And I was struggling, and we were struggling with building sets. But I loved working with the actors, and I loved working with the rhythm of the play and the sounds of the words and the silences between the words. And what happened after 6 weeks of rehearsing and working and rehearsing was the acting was great. People were talking and communicating, and the setting that we were building was terrible. It was horrible. And so one night, 5 nights before we opened, I gathered the cast together and I said, you know what? We're throwing the sets out. Tomorrow, I'm going to go to the hardware store. I'm going to paint this wall dark blue. And we're going to do this play against a dark blue wall. And I got some apple crates at my house. I'm going to bring them in. We're going to use the apple crates as the sets. And that's what we're going to do. And this is 5 days before we opened. And they were shocked. They didn't know I was going to do that twice more during my tenure at that school. But sometimes I get ideas in the wrong times, you know. But we did that. And so we let the lighting turn that blue wall from rich moonlight to daylight to interior light. And we had the apple crates there. And the thing is, we created a visual silence. And it was in that visual silence that people who watched the play were able to fill in the spaces. They were able to engage themselves. They put themselves in that visual silence. And by doing that, they were literally seeing, I found out afterwards, the forest where the people were acting. They were seeing the rooms where the people were acting. A drama teacher who had been in the county for many years told me that was one of the finest plays she had ever seen. And I didn't tell her, well, yeah, it was my first, but whatever. But I thought about that when I got to this passage in Scripture this morning, because it is in that silence after the earthquake and the wind and the fire that God wants to be heard. And that's when we pick up our ears and start listening. In photojournalism, you are taught that when you're photographing a scene and you think it's over, do not put the camera down, because when you think the scene is ended, maybe it's just starting. And so in Elijah, in the silence, after all that cacophony, that is when God's voice is coming into Elijah, and that is when God is present. Now in Psalm 46, verse 10, you know these words, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." So when we are silent, we can be acknowledging that God is God. But we are also opening ourselves to God coming into our lives. We are, in a sense, when we are silent, creating our own sanctuary where we are inviting God in. And if we can do that, then wherever we are, we can have an opportunity for God to come in, and we can hear God's presence in that silence. Think about that. In our silence, we can carry our own sanctuary with us. You see, miracles do happen when our humanity meets God's grace, when we hear God's still, small voice. And so, dear God, please come into my mind and heart this morning. Let the words of my mouth, these meditations of my heart, bring your word alive into the hearts and minds of your people. Help them to hear your still small voice in the busy cacophony of their days. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you heard some of the background to Elijah's predicament. He just killed 450 of Jezebel's, Queen Jezebel's, valued priests and prophets. So, man, she put the word out. He was on her bad side, and she was going to kill him. And that's why Elijah runs into the wilderness. But it's interesting that God comes to Elijah not in the spectacle, but he comes to Elijah in the silence. And verse 12 of chapter 19 in 1 Kings is such an interesting verse. People translate those words so many different ways. Here's some translations. A sound of sheer silence, a still, small voice, a gentle breeze. Imagine these. Another translation translates this as the calm whispering voice. And another translation translates it as the sound of a gentle blowing. And finally, the sound of soft stillness. Now, this is not how we usually think of God. The sound of soft stillness? A gentle blowing? You know, we think of God in the big stuff, not the little stuff. John of the Cross, I said this a couple weeks ago, has this beautiful phrase, silence is God's first language. And so even though we may think that God is speaking in the dramatic events of our lives, and even though it's only often when crisis hits in a dramatic event that we turn towards God, it's that old World War II saying about there are no atheists in foxholes. But perhaps God speaks to us when we are silent, so we can truly hear his first language. But this is difficult. I mean, what does it take to experience God's silence? I would urge you to spend 2 minutes this week sitting in silence with your mind blank, not wandering. And if you did that, I'd like to find out next week how long y'all got. I get about 10 seconds in, and then my mind starts to wander. The Buddhists have this phrase, they call it monkey mind. And that's what our minds do. If you put us around any kind of silence, our minds jump from tree limb to tree limb to tree limb to tree limb to tree limb. We just can't stand still. But the fascinating thing about God's silence, as Elijah discovered, is it gives us an opportunity to experience God's basic character. And God's basic character is that he is active in our lives. When Elijah was on the run, God sent an angel to feed him and then feed him again. When the Israelites were on the run from the Egyptians, God sent manna to feed them and feed them for 40 years. God's basic character is this. I'm going to make it clear. I see you. I love you. And I hear you. And the more we get silent, then the more that comes into our mind, as opposed to what we read on Facebook or Twitter, or how wrong our neighbor is, or the store that overcharged me, etc. So when we no longer look for the dramatic, what happens, right? Well, in that play that I directed over 45 years ago, the audience could not look for the sets, the scenery. They weren't there. So then they had to look at the actors. And that's when they made that awesome connection with the actors. And when we no longer look at the dramatic, well, we have the ordinary. And God's voice can be heard in the ordinary. A child coming home from school smiling because they had a great day. Or maybe the birth of a child. Or maybe an engagement notice. Or maybe a text message or a Facebook posting that makes you smile. Or maybe in the hospital, getting sometimes good news, sometimes bad news. I find God's voice is heard in a rather high-pitched 2-year-old's voice of my granddaughter. You see, God is present in so many ordinary things. When we slow down, we see God in the ordinary. And since most of our lives are lived in the ordinary, when we welcome God, we make our lives extraordinary. And that is what we're talking about with worship. God is giving himself to us. We are giving ourselves to God. And if you think about this and carry it backwards in time, maybe the reason the Pharisees and the Jews missed the Son of God being in their presence was because the Son of God was too ordinary for them. So, I found a pastor in Australia. He says this, Elijah learns that God is found in the still small voice, not the impressive special effects. So, a more profound and personal relationship with God can be developed because we have to listen more intently. Maybe that's why God is speaking in that still small voice, because he wants us to relate to him profoundly, and he's making space for us to do that. Miracles happen when our humanity meets God's grace and we hear God's still small voice. The fact that we have a personal and profound relationship with God can't be anything more miraculous than that. And so, My sermon was going along at a nice pace until I ran into these words. And this might be controversial. I thought about these questions. Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, where is God leading us? And are we hearing God's still small voice? And that's been the theme of this sermon. And then I found this phrase, these words by Reverend Stuart Higginbotham. Okay. But boy, this guy brings it home. How can the church live into this call for trusting our encounter with God? How might the church live into that call if we began with wonder and silence rather than marketing ideas? And what if we then let the Spirit guide us to a new encounter? I know this is risky, but we may be shocked. Well, those are Reverend Stewart's words. What if we began with wonder and silence rather than marketing ideas? And so, Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, can we, and I don't have an answer, create silent, still spaces in which we invite people to discover and seek God? And I'm asking this question. I was talking to JR up here before we started. I love the special Sundays we're doing. They bring energy. They bring new people into the church. Every one of them has been a highlight of my summer. But I wonder what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And I've wondered this for several months. We're going to have a worship committee meeting before the end of the month. But, you know, I don't have answers. I'm not sure the Holy Spirit is saying to us, go glitzy. I'm thinking he's saying to us, go donuts. I really think that. But I'm not thinking he's saying to us, go glitzy with special effects and rain and wind. Somehow, God in this place at this time is teaching us and shaping us and moving us so we can welcome people here with still small voices. So we can welcome people into profound relationships with each other and with God. I don't know what that would like. I don't know what that would look like. Okay, so I'm not giving you answers. I hope we have more special Sundays because I really, truly enjoy them. I'm sure we will.
That spoke to me in the silence of the pandemic.
Me too. And I agree with that 1,000%. I agree with that 1,000%. This is not either or, okay? This is how do we make this more broad? And how do we bring it into a richer, fuller context? So in our church, we have people that disagree. But the wonderful thing about this congregation is we disagree, but we are in fellowship while we disagree. And I love that. Because as I was talking to JR before church, JR said, yes, but, and expressed to me what he just expressed to you, which is fine, which is fine. We had a prayer service for Ben Allen on Tuesday, and much good news has come out of the hospital since then. Not out of the woods, but good news, good direction. And you know, at the prayer service, I was wanting not to create a super spreader event, but some people felt more comfortable with touch. And I love that. I love that because if we can't be different here, where can we be different? God has created us in so many varieties, in so many ways, with so many thoughts, that here is the place to make that a rich blend, stew, if you will, and let it simmer in the small voices, and let everyone's voice be heard. So in the silence, that is when God's voice truly rings in our ears. And so, I'm done. Is he over yet? This sermon was challenging. Because also I understand if you say, well, let us encounter God in the still small voice, then people get nervous that we're going towards boredom, no songs, lack of energy, and everybody who's like 110 and above, you know. But I don't believe that's the way it works. I don't believe that's the way it works. So let us close this out by praying the words of Psalm 62, verse 1. For God alone, my soul waits in silence, and from him comes my salvation. Bruce? So in all of these thoughts and all of these difficult times of pandemic and people having different opinions and wondering where is God in this world and how can we bring new people into this church and all the things that want to pull us away from simply being quiet with our God. In all of this, we give thanks and we pray to Jesus and we pray that we hear Jesus' still small voice. Amen.